You're listening to the ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at houstonsfirst.org. Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. Here's Greg Mott.
Will you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to begin a series today that's going to take us throughout till Easter. But it's a big series with some small parts in it. It's a series entitled Milestones. Milestones is a booklet that you received. If we've got your mailing address, you've received this booklet in the mail, and it's Milestones. I want to tell you a little bit about it. In a big church like this, we've got so many things going on. Do you know that there are 78 different classes offered in the week of Bible study classes? 78 different classes offered during the week. But we've got to have a framework that puts it all together so that it makes sense. So we put all of the classes and all of the different things into an initiative we're calling Milestones. And what it is a journey that is allowing us to disciple along the milestones of life. See, Milestones is a framework for Houston's First Baptist Church's ministries and programs to equip people for the stages of life from birth to adulthood. Milestones is a framework to equip all of us as we move from birth to adulthood. Now, think about it. When I was growing up, all my family lived in Louisiana, and we'd go to Louisiana all the time. So we'd get in the car, and there would be different milestones along the way that would let me know where I am on the path. We would drive out of Houston, head across Houston. Sometimes that would take as long as the rest of the trip to Louisiana. But we would get on the other side of Houston, and in the east part of Houston, there would be this big refinery. And I knew when we hit that refinery that we were outside of Houston. Then we would go to Beaumont. We'd stop at the same gas station in Beaumont every single time we would go. And I knew when we hit that gas station in Beaumont, I'd get the snacks, they'd get the gas. That meant we were at the halfway point. That was a milestone upon the journey. Then we would journey further along, and in Lake Charles, we would go over this big bridge over the Sabine River, and they have little guns on the bridge, on the railings of it, and I'd try to count all the guns that would go up, and I'd never be able to do it still to this day. But we'd go over that big bridge, and I knew once we had crossed that big bridge, okay, now we're in Louisiana. We've only got a little time left. Then we'd start pulling up into Crowley was where my grandparents were, and I'd see rain, and I'd see Crowley, and I'd know we're getting close at that point. And we would pull in. There was milestones along the way. Well, in our life, there are milestones along the way, and there's a process along the way. We don't hit every one of those milestones. We don't all stop at the same gas station. But those milestones we've organized around some equipping, spiritual discipleship equipping around those milestones. There's so much going on at this place that we've got to organize a path of discipleship, or we'll just run around going, I don't know, well, what do I go to? Well, where do I go? Well, what milestone are you at? And when you're there, now you know where you can intersect in the classes of equipping. There's two primary ways you're going to grow in your faith. We're going to worship here. But we're going to grow in two primary ways, in Sunday Bible study, Sunday school, and in milestones. Those are our two ways. So we've taken this whole big thing of church, and we've narrowed it down to coming to worship, and then going to a Bible study on Sunday, being a part of the Milestones Initiative, and then finally that we'll serve, worship, growth, and service to give us a pathway. These milestones, we're all in different places. Many of you long past parenting. But now you're looking at your grandchild coming to go to kindergarten, or your grandchild is a teenager, to be able to equip yourself or to equip your children to parent in that way as they now parent. Parents in this room are looking and saying, okay, now my kid's a teenager, what do I do? Well, now you intersect with that milestone there, and they intersect with that milestone, and the teenager and the parent are intersecting at the same place. Faith in overcoming a loss to intersect in that spot. See, some milestones will not be on everyone's path. Everyone's not going to get married. Everyone's not going to have a child. I will never encounter the milestone of biblical womanhood. It'll never happen. I don't have to ever take a class on that. I don't need to have to come to a ladies' Bible study on that. I'm never going to encounter it. So I'm not worried about some different milestones along the way. I'm just looking at the one I'm at right now. It takes everything that's going on in the church and puts it in. Okay, where am I right now? Milestones give us a path along the journey. And we're going to begin in these 2 weeks in talking about parenting. That's the first place where the milestones begin, at the birth of a child, talking about parenting. Now, I'm going to give you four principles on parenting, one today and three next week. Because we want to, in milestones in parenting, we want to equip as a church the parents to parent the child. Here's what has happened incorrectly in the last years, maybe the last couple decades. The parenting responsibility has been shifted to the schools. And the parents have said, well, I don't know what to do. You take care of them. It's been shifted to the church. I don't know what to do spiritually. You take care of them. We want to partner with you in parenting and equipping you to be the parent. Do you know how much percentage of a child's time they will spend at church? They will spend 1% of their time at church. They will spend 16% of their time at school. And they will spend 83% of their time at home. Our youth minister puts it like this. Our student minister puts it like this. If I can spend an hour with a parent, it's worth 20 hours with a kid. See, because many of us have thought, well, if I drop them off at church, they'll send them back saved and moral. So I'll just drop them off and we don't have to do anything spiritually at home. We'll just bless the food every time we eat, but we'll drop them off at church and then they'll come back to us saved and moral. And then we'll just go, okay, that's great. We'll drop them off at a Christian school, maybe a private school or a great public school, or we'll homeschool. And we'll hope that the schooling, I guess, not in the home realm, but in the private and public, that we'll just drop them off there and they'll come back saved and moral. And then we're baffled by this statistic. Are you ready for the statistic? It's sad. 70% of church kids 2 years after they graduate high school leave the church. 70%. Now that's the church's fault in a lot of ways. And that's the fault at home in a lot of ways. And that's just people making their own decision in a lot of ways. We want to partner with parents to reach and disciple kids. You can't drop them off at church and expect them to come back saved and moral. We've got to join together and do that. So as we look into this passage of Scripture, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to take the word time today. Time is going to be the one word that we're going to take today. And we're going to look at the word time. And I'm going to unpack it for you. Now, I know that many of you have been parenting longer than I've been alive. Some of you have more kids than I'll ever have. You got more wisdom than I've ever had or ever will have. Lord, this guy named, find his name here. What's his name? I don't know, but he's somebody from England. Lord Rochester, that's it. He's got to be from England. Lord Rochester in 1675 said this, "I had 6 theories on parenting. Now I have 6 kids and no theories on parenting." So I'm not coming as the expert. We're coming together on this. But we're going to take 4 principles that we can have as aunts, uncles, friends, grandparents, or parents. And the first one that we're going to take is time. Look in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 21. This is what it says. It's about Hannah. Remember Hannah? She has Samuel. She struggled with having a baby. When this man, Elkanah, went up, that's the father, went up with all of his family to offer the annual sacrifice. Verse 3 of chapter 1 says, year after year, he spent time in the house of God. Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." Time with her child. Verse 23, "Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. Now, guys, just an asterisk to put in the margin. That's your best phrase in parenting with your wife. Do what seems best to you, honey. Because she's going to be right about 90% of the time on how this walks out. So just go ahead and write that one down. Do what seems best to you. You got a verse memorized here. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make his word good," so that the woman stayed at the home and nursed him until her son was weaned. That's about 3 years old is when it was in that culture. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her. Young as he was, along with her, a 3-year-old bull, one to symbolize every year, a year of the bull to symbolize every year of the child, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord. And when they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli, he's going to live with Eli, time with him. And she said to him, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord." Talking to the priest, she spent time praying. "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted him to me, and I asked what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. He worshiped the Lord there. Parenting. Family takes time. It takes a lot of time. Parenting is a difficult thing to do. The greatest joys of your life will come from parenting. The greatest challenge of your life will come from parenting. Nothing is better at burning out selfishness than being a parent. I thought selfishness began to be burned out when I got married, but you can negotiate with a spouse. You can't negotiate with a child, with a baby at times. It burns out selfishness in you like you've never seen. You can't multitask with a kid. They want 100% of your time. Most everybody else in the world, if we gave them 80% of our time, they'd be more than happy. But that child requires 100% of the time. There's challenges and it burns out selfishness. There's joys in giving care and loving and teaching and laughter and fun. To laugh with a child is a great joy. All of the things of childhood, of teenage years, of as they grow up, are great joys to watch that happen. There's great joys in parenting. But what is our goals in parenting? What are our goals? Ted Tripp, in his book called Shepherding the Child's Heart, gives some unbiblical goals. Not bad, just unbiblical. I want to share them with you as we get to what the biblical goal is. Now, these will be a little bit, we'll think, well, now, wait a minute, that sounds good. And they are good, but they're not the ultimate goal. The first one that he shares many, I'm just going to give you a couple, is that our goals a lot of times in parenting is to develop a special skill. For the child to develop a special skill. So we run them to gymnastics, we run them to sports, we run them to band, we run them to singing lessons. We want them to develop a special skill. So we run them all over the place so that they'll develop a special skill. Another unbiblical goal might be that they'll be well-adjusted, that they'll have a healthy self-esteem, that they'll be psychologically well-adjusted. They'll think they're somebody and they'll go and so we just pour it over. A lot of times in schools nowadays, they won't use red pens to grade papers because red would be offensive and it might injure the kids' self-esteem. Silly, isn't it? But to lift them up and to say, here's the self-esteem and that's our goal, as long as you feel good about yourself. Number three, to be well-educated. That they would be well-educated. We want them to be smart. So as soon as they're a baby, we can't just feed them Cheerios. We count them Cheerios. And one, and two, and uno, dos, tres. We want to speak. It's just everything's a teaching moment. It's well-educated is the goal. Number four, and finally, well-behaved. That the goal is well-behaved kids. As long as they're well-behaved. And parents, at times, that is for our control in other people's eyes. It is to please others and for us to regain control. Are those biblical goals? See, the biblical goal of parenting is this, to raise kids who love the Lord. The biblical goal of parenting is to raise kids who love the Lord. Is a good education bad? Of course not. Well-behaved? Of course that's wonderful. A great skill? Yes, we want that. But the ultimate goal is to raise kids who love the Lord. I ask you this question. Are you intentional about that? Or are you intentional about the special skill? Intentional about the good education? Intentional about the behavior? Because if you are intentional about raising kids that love the Lord, you will find that a special skill will give way to a spiritual gift. You will find that a well-adjusted self-esteem will give way to not what you think about yourself, but God esteem what God thinks about that child. And the child to know God loves me, and that makes all the difference. To be well-educated will give way to godly wisdom. There are a lot of smart people in the world that don't understand life. Well-behaved will come into being not just faith, but works. So the goal that we're working from, that I'm putting out to us, is our goal in parenting and grandparenting and aunts and uncles and friendships is raising kids who love the Lord. That's the goal. And if they're smart, great. If they're behaved, great. But raising them that love the Lord, the first component of this is going to be time. Time is the first component. It takes time to raise a child. Time with God develops a full cup parent. The first place that I want to talk about time is time with God. Time with God develops a full cup parent. I'll tell you what that means in just a moment. When we hear time in parenting, what do we think about? We think about spending time with the kid. Oh, that means throw the football in the backyard. Oh, that means do this and do that. Time with God is the number one thing. Many Christian families do a wonderful job spending time together. James Dobson's drilled it in our head enough. We got it. But we do not do a great time of spending time with God. If you're going to parent from a full cup, meaning the resources are full, grandparent from a full cup, the resources are full, you're going to have to spend time with God. I am a far better parent when I've spent time with God. If I have not gotten good sleep, if I have not spent time with God, my parenting goes way down. I'm a lot more on edge. We see here with Hannah, she spent time with God. Her husband spent time with God. Eli spent time with God. Samuel is going to learn how to spend time with God. Time with God is the most important thing you could do as a parent. If you are a parent that is not regularly spending time alone with God, you are parenting from half a cup. Parents must spend time with God. My wife puts it like this. She says, spending time alone with God makes mom a better mom. That's what she tells our son. Well, where are you going, Mom? I'm going to spend time with God. Well, what am I going to do? Well, you need to play with your toys by yourself for a while. Well, come play with me. No, spending time with God makes me a better mom. Where's Dad? Well, Dad's spending time with God. Well, why is he spending time with God? He needs to come throw the football with me. No, spending time with God makes Dad a better dad. The greatest parenting tip I can tell you is you spend time with God. If you do not spend time with God, you will parent from half a cup and your own wisdom forever. And you'll always have had it up to here. And not with the Holy Spirit, but with aggravation. See, time with God models the priority of God. We spend time on what we call priority. And if your child never sees you spending time with God, if your grandchild never sees you spending time with God, if never out of your mouth, today in my quiet time I learned comes out, never sees that, it symbolizes that God is not the priority. Church attendance is not the magic touch on godly kids. But at the same time, if the kids see that church attendance always goes away once this thing happens, they will see that this thing is priority. If you go to church every Sunday, you're in church, unless fill in the blank with whatever it is, unless sports, unless travel, unless this, and they see the same thing every time trumps church, they will finally understand that that is a higher priority than church. Give you an example. If I call my wife and I say, hey, I'm going to be home late for dinner tonight. I had some things hit me at the office I got to deal with. I got a phone call I got to make, all that. That's fine. If I call every once in a while and that happens, well, then the priority is still for me to get home and be at dinner with my family. If I call all the time and work is always taking me away from dinner, then that shows that work is more important than dinner. If all the time the same lake house, the same sporting event, the same interaction is always what takes you away from church, then finally they'll clue in, the lake's more important than church. Sports are more important than church. So therefore, enjoyment must be more important than God. God is the priority. And where we spend our time is where we show our priority. Now, please hear me. I'm not saying church, 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 you got to be here. Y'all. Hey, I've been around long enough to know a lot of people can sit in a pew and get nothing in their heart. But God as a priority means spending time with God. Annually, they went up to the sacrifice. Every year, they went. She and her husband went to spend time with God. Hannah spent time praying in the sanctuary, asking God to give her a child. Time with God develops a full cup parent. Secondly, time with God on behalf of the child. I want to give you some prayer requests. We've got to be spending time going to the Lord on behalf of our children. Here's just a few prayer requests you need to pray for your children or grandchildren. Number one, a heart to love God and to hate sin. Pray that they would love God and they would hate sin. Number two, protection. They're in your listening guide. You don't have to write them all down. Protection. That they would be protected emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Pray for their protection. It is a dangerous world. Number three, pray for their friends and their future spouse. That purity would be in their life as you pray for their spouse, for their friends, because their friends might have more influence than you one day. Thirdly, or fourthly, pray that they would be caught when they do things wrong. Pray that they would be caught when they do things wrong so that they would see and understand the consequence of sin. You pray those four things because in their world right now, there is no right or wrong. There's nothing to catch you doing. Time with God on the parent of on the behalf of the parent to fill the cup. Time with God on behalf of the child going to the Lord in prayer. Say, what can I pray for you today? How can I ask God to do something on your behalf today? Let's pray together today. Teenager, child, either way, let's join together in prayer. Second aspect of time is time with each other. Time with each other. This is where you go throw the football around. Do something that they enjoy, something that you fit into. If they're in a band and they need a lead singer, Grandpa, that's not your role, okay? You'll embarrass them in front of all your kids, all their kids. If you say, well, give me that microphone. Hey, and a hop out of heat. It's not gonna work. Do something they enjoy that you fit into so that they can see that you are interested in defining correctly time together of interacting. One man wrote in his journal, he said, I spent all day with my son fishing. We didn't catch a thing, day wasted. He found later his son's journal. And he opened it up to the same day and it said, spent all day with Dad, greatest day of my life. Greatest day of my life or day wasted? It all comes down, is your goal to catch fish or is your goal to make a fisher of men and a person that loves the Lord? Spending time with them is huge. But when they're little, we tote them around on our errands. And when they're big, we tote them around on their errands. Our time together is just running around. It's not strategic, it's not loving, it's not spending time together, it's not sharing community of life. So here's some tips of time as we begin to wrap up. Some time tips. Number one, God gets priority. I hope I hit that hard enough in the first point. God gets priority. I'm not saying run out and go to Chuck E. Cheese. I'm not saying run out and take everybody out to dinner. I'm saying God gets the priority. He's the one that gets the time. And from that time with God, then we move forward. Time tip number two, frazzled families fizzle. Frazzled families fizzle. Do not be overcommitted. Families, I am just as guilty and I feel it just as much. You can't overcommit. There needs to be days you don't leave the neighborhood. Days you don't get out of your PJs until noon. Times that you're there at the home. Frazzled families fizzle. And running all over from here to there, you gotta be the one that keeps a lid on that, parent. We throw so many distractions before our kids and then wait for them to find the priority of God. Give them distraction upon distraction upon distraction and then wonder why they can't find the priority of God. Because we've thrown so many things at them. Quality and quantity time are necessary. We like to say, well, it's quality time. Quantity time is necessary too. Grandparents, spend time with them. Take them out, just you and them. Take them someplace where they want to eat. Talk to them. Love on them. Get that quality time. Get that quantity time. Parents, of course, the same. Number three, or what am I on? Number four, decrease distractions, increase conversation. Now you got a blank to fill out. Decrease distractions, increase conversation. Car time is good time. Car time is good time. FBA, First Baptist Academy, our school, one of the things on the pickup, the little pickup thing where you pick up your child in the car line, the second thing on there, it says, the second rule, it says, no cell phone use in pickup line. Do you know why? Because we want kids to get into the car and mom or dad to go, how was your day? Not, hey, uh-huh, yeah, so da-da-da-da-da-da. That car time is good time. You've got in that proximity that kid and you in that car, and it's contained. Spend time in that way. Don't put on another DVD in that DVD player. Don't put on another cell phone call. Spend time in that car. Decrease the distractions. Increase the conversation. At dinner, don't answer the phone. Don't eat in front of the TV. Only time you need to eat in front of the TV is if it's pizza and a big game. That's when you get to eat in front of the TV. Because that's quality time if you're a dad. Let's sit down. Here we go. It's the playoffs. Give me a pepperoni. This is great. But not doing that, watching Entertainment Tonight. Last and finally, plan time together. Plan time together. Time is the most important. That we would take time together and spend that time together. You are the number one influence in your child's life as a parent. We didn't put this together, but we use this in our youth ministry, our student ministry. It's called 30 Days, Turning the Hearts of Parents and Teenagers Towards Each Other. And our parents are doing this right now as we speak. I just picked out selected ones. I didn't handpick them. I just picked day 1, day 10, day 20, day 30. And this is what they do. The parents and student get together. The parent and student get together. And they sit in a room. And for 10 minutes, they spend 10 minutes together of time. The first day, it says this. The parent has this card. And this is the only thing that they get to see for parents' eyes only. You may be wondering why I agreed to spend these 30 evenings with you. I don't think that anyone could have ever forced me to do this. I know that there have been times when I've allowed my obligations to come before spending time with you, but that's not where my heart is. I commit these 30 evenings to you because you're incredibly important to me. Let me explain this reason why, ... Student response. I am honored that you cared enough to want to spend these minutes with me. Let me explain to you how this makes me feel. Then they make a commitment to spend those 30 days together. Day 10, they spend all those days together. Then day 10, the student says first, when someone hurts me, I hold it inside rather than going to that person. When bad things occur, I hold it that hurt inside for a long time. Here are some of the bad things that happen. And a parent gets to hear from a student the bad things that have happened. The parent says, you know what, like you, when someone wounds me, I don't tell them. I hold it inside. Here are some of the bad things that have happened to me. And then it gets down to the end. Let us promise each other that we are going to come together quickly after someone has been hurt so that forgiveness and healing can begin. You see the vision in that? A parent and a child after 10 days, that's day 10 building towards that. Then day 20. These 30 days we've been spending together reminding me, the student saying this, how important my family is. I'm motivated to take our family even closer. Two changes I want to see in myself that will help our relationship are, and the student says, here's the two things that I want to change in me that will help our relationship together. The parent says, it's so inspiring seeing you wanting to do things to strengthen our family. The two things that I will change in my life and in our family are, and then they list that. Day 30, the last day. Tonight, we can celebrate what God has done in our relationship over the past 30 days. And I want to begin, parents, saying this by sharing something I want to celebrate. One way I'll never be the same after these 30 days with you is, the student says, I want to celebrate the same. One way I'll never be the same after these 30 days with you is, during these 30 days, Mom, Dad, you've blessed me. One thing you've said I will always remember is, and then at the very end, they pray together all throughout this. There's one moment in here in that last day, the student comes around and puts his hands on his parents' shoulders and prays for his mom and his dad. The parent lays hands on that child and prays for that child. It's not how smart these kids are and if they can throw a curveball. It is raising kids who love the Lord. And parents, if we don't love the Lord and connect with them, they'll never see the priority of God. They'll never see it. This tool, you can talk to our youth, our student pastor, student minister. Garden Bookstore's got information. time with God. Time with that child, looking him in the eye and saying, you know what? I say this all the time, my little guy. You know what? If I went all over the world today, and I could pick one child, I'd pick you. And I love you. And I want to see God's best in your life. I don't care if you dig ditches. I want you to walk with God. Those little eyes look back at you. How many of us as adults, if our daddy would have said that to us, our mom would have said that to us. The milestone of parenting is walking with a passion for God. It's not showing up at church. We get a 1%, and we will do everything we can with that 1%, and we'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars if that's what it takes. Walking with God. Are you spending time with God, grandparent? Are you spending time with God, parent? Do they know God's a priority to you? Is our goal to raise kids that love the Lord? That's our first milestone. Today was time. Next week we'll be modeling consistency and discipline. Consistency and discipline. And finally, the last one will be, I can't remember it now, guarding their heart. Guarding their heart. As we come to this time of invitation, maybe you just need to pray for your kids. You need to come down here. You got a prodigal and you need to call out on God to bring your kid back. Pray for your parents. Obviously come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Join our church. Milestone. We've got to equip along the journey. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. And we pray in the name of God for our kids. And we pray that they would see that our time is a priority to spend with you. God, for those who don't have kids in this room, that don't have never had children, let them love on somebody else's. Those of us that have children, whatever age, may they know if those kids are 50, that the most important thing to us is still that they walk with God. Pray for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen.